Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen, and I feel a song coming on.
Part two. We're looking at Psalm 23, so stay tuned.
Bye.
Bye.
That's shepherding.
You've got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
All right, welcome back. And on today's episode, we're talking about Psalm 23, and Jen just bawled like a sheep. So one of the first times I ever met Jen, she actually took me to go to another church. So we were on kind of like a mini road trip together, and she saw a cat, and all of a sudden she started meowing. I'm thinking, what is going on here? She's meowing at the cat. So anytime she makes an animal noise, it's
I can't help
it. It's part of our friendship. It's just how it is.
I taught my little cousin. We're driving by. I'm like, when you see cows, you gotta moo at them. And she's like 3 at the time. Aww. We're driving by, and I'm like, moo. And then I'm like, Mary, join me. And
so she did.
Oh yeah. We mooed at the cows. It's good. Just let it out. Just let it out.
And just now, let it out.
You might be thinking, why are they talking about animals? And, well, it's interesting. I said to Carrie, in this psalm in the Bible that I'm looking at, we are looking at Psalm 23 today, and I said, oh, it came with questions. And she said, what is the first question? I said, what is the closest you've come to living on a farm and looking after animals?
Not what I was expecting. So living on a farm?
Uh-huh.
Well, my family's home was surrounded by farms, but I wasn't responsible for any kind of creature, apart from a dog and cat.
That's
true. Oh, I did go to my friend's papa's cattle farm and kind of hung out there for a while.
All right.
So that's it.
I was not raised on a farm. I have an appreciation for farms. I lived beside a farm. I love cows.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just do. I do know that you cannot feed a cow a carrot, though, from your hand. And the only reason I say this is I was on vacation with my mother and in PEI, and we're just driving down this little dirt road, and we're watching this lady try to feed a cow a carrot. I'm like, it's a cow. It's not a horse.
It's a vegetable.
They eat grass. And I was just thinking,
dear,
she must be from the city. No offense to anyone living in a city and knows about animals.
Well, see, I didn't think it was a problem, so.
But yes, you don't feed cows carrots. You feed cows hay. A horse may eat a carrot from your hand. I don't think a cow would. I don't even know of a cow that would.
I'll find out for us.
Anyhow, so you might be thinking, are we moving on here? The answer is yes. We're going to read from Psalm 23, which is a Psalm of David, and which does focus on a farmer. You're going to think it's a shepherd, but they have to look after sheep, and farmers look after animals. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hmm. You know, when the Lord says, when it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," it automatically implies that he's a good shepherd, that he's looking after his sheep. And in John 10, it talks about how we are the sheep.
Yes.
And that Jesus is looking after us, and he is the good shepherd, and he provides for us. And we don't have to have fear because he is a good shepherd.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it says that he will lay down his life for the sheep. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you're right. When we put our faith in him, we have nothing to want. Nothing. There is no in brackets, or except when.
Yeah.
There's a period at the end of wants in my sentence.
I shall not want, period.
Yeah.
I think it's a process to get there. And I look at Paul in the New Testament, and he said, whether in plenty or in want, you know, I've learned what it is to be content.
Bingo.
In yes. God, because he knows that God provides for him.
Yeah. And so maybe that's a question we need to be asking ourselves, is when we are feeling discontent or like we need something, maybe we need to be saying, okay, is this from the Lord? Because sometimes he stirs up desires in us. Or am I just needing something, wanting something I don't even need? Like, where is this discontent? Where is this desire coming from? Is it of the Lord? Because if it's the Lord stirring up, then he's going to meet it, right?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because whenever I hear Psalm 23, I automatically think of funerals.
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you not?
When I go to a funeral, I think I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I automatically do, because I've been to so many funerals, and they usually read this psalm. I think because it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me."
Yeah.
And so many older adults can actually quote this psalm.
Even
if they're
James.
Not. Yes. Even if they don't go to church anymore, they can still remember it.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're saying in Psalm 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," period. And then you go on to read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Like, there's a fear, you know, there's a shadow of death, a threatening of death, but still there's no want. They have no fear.
No.
So I just find it interesting that this is read at funerals, because, you know, so much the family, they want that family member back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the desire, right?
Right. Well, and what's interesting, it says the valley of the shadow of death. So there's a shadow of death, but...
What's that mean?
Like, you're walking through it. You actually haven't died. But it's like the family, right? Like, even though this person that I love has died, and I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Their death has cast the shadow, right? And you're walking through it. Some versions also say a darkest place or a darkest valley.
Hmm.
But what's interesting is that it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
And I heard Carrie's dad give a devotion on this passage. And he explained what a rod and a staff were. And basically, they're defensive tools, or to protect the sheep.
Okay.
And so all I could think was like a ninja shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, getting those sticks out.
Yeah, staff, like Donatello.
Yeah. And but it says your rod and your staff. So all I could think about was, as we walked through that valley, and as, you know, the wolves, or I want to say the monsters, come.
Oh, yeah.
All I could, you know, as soon as your dad explained that, all I could think about was, you know, God jumping in front of us.
And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And getting rid of them. Like, and he takes care of them. Like, he's the one. Because it says, I fear no evil. Why? Because God's taking care of it.
Hmm.
Like, it just made so much sense when, because it says your rod and your staff. Like, we can take comfort in the fact that the Lord has, like, things to protect us.
He's our defense. He's our rear guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yes, because it goes on to say in verse 6, and I know we just skipped over verse 5, but it's surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Like, so even though his rod and his staff are, like, before us, protecting us, guiding us, his love, mercy, is coming behind us. It's like...
all the way around.
All the way around. And I got so excited as I read this passage. I'm like, he's got us covered.
Yeah.
Like, he has got us covered. And verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Like, every time I read this psalm, my cup overflows. Like, I get so excited because of what the Lord is doing. And that's probably why it's one of the most popular psalms. And besides the fact that it's read at funerals all the time. But there's, like, so much truth in it. Yeah. Like, it says in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Sounds like he's doing a lot of the work.
Yeah. Like, he helps us lie down. He leads. He restores. He guides for his honor and glory. Like, he's leading us. He's guiding us. And it says, you know, he makes us to lie down in green. He restores our souls. Like, he restores us. Like, I can't, every time I read this, I'm like, I get excited. I want to sit. And it's like, I just want to sense the Spirit restoring me and leading me and causing me to lie down in green pastures. And even now in my head, I can just imagine a big green field and just, you know, where the image that really comes to mind is Beauty and the Beast, where she's running out and singing the song. But just lying in that field and experiencing the restoring, the still waters, right? Which is like the tree that we read about last week in Psalm 1, where when we focus on the Lord, we are like a tree planted by the water who produces fruit. And in here we are talking about water again, that he makes us lie down in green pastures and beside still waters to restore our soul.
You know, something only needs restoration if he restores something that needs to be restored.
Yes.
So it kind of implies that, you know, the David's soul needed restoration.
Yeah.
And I think of, I was, I don't know, like 18. And I remember my mom was away for all that year taking care of my grandma. And then finally heard that my grandma had passed away. And, you know, having really mixed feelings, like I was sad that my grandma had passed, but happy my mom's coming home. And, I don't know. I just felt, you know, heavy. I went for a run and I actually ran out to a field and it was sunset. It was beautiful. And I just prayed and I felt God restoring my soul with his truth. And like seeing, you know, when the sun busts through the clouds, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like reminding me of the truth. This is not all that there is. That yes, there's death that happens, but there is life in Christ and there's life after this life, and that he gives us hope that we can have the life that is truly life now.
Yes.
Jesus came to put heaven back inside of us. We have it now to experience and share that hope with other people. And it was just so cool. Like it was in a field setting. So that's what I think of when I read that psalm there, Jen.
And it is, yes. We can't be restored when we're running 100 miles an hour. So often we're like, we're so busy. We run, you know, we pack things in. And yet it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths for his name's sake. Like, we are restored in the quiet. And it's true. When I take a day off, I feel great. Like, I just feel, like, filled up and restored, like all the rough edges have been sanded off and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And when I'm running full tilt, like, I feel good. And, you know, I hear the Lord speaking to me and I'm ministering to other people. But I think you're right. He only restores things that have some form of damage or brokenness.
Right.
And the thing is, it doesn't, even if we're working for the Lord, we need to be restored.
Yeah.
Like, we run out of energy. The tank gets, you know, emptied. We might get hurt. We might have to extend forgiveness. We might have to go and apologize to someone, but we don't really know until we actually stop and allow him to, you know, fix us.
Yeah.
It's like taking your car in for, you know, your monthly, or I don't know how often you should take a car in, let's just be honest.
A tune-up.
Thank you.
However often that needs to happen.
I know. I just drive my car and take when it needs to be fixed.
They send me a letter. Say, hey, come in for a tune-up.
Yes.
I'm like, okay.
But Jesus and the Lord did set up, though, this thing called Sabbath for a purpose of restoring our soul, like that weekly check-in, how's it going?
Yeah.
And allowing God to minister to us so we can be restored, so we can extend forgiveness, so we can, you know, get right with the Lord so that we're filled up for the next week. And I think that's where it can go on and say, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because we have been restored, because we have spent time with the Lord, then when we walk through those things, then we truly can believe it. Because the thing is, whether we believe something or not does not mean it's not happening.
Gravity is gravity, whether you believe it or not.
Yes. So we can still walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And God can still be there. And he probably still is. But we can still be fearful because we have forgotten what God said he would do.
Right.
And so it's like, this is why we need to make sure that we allow him to restore us. That we actually, you know, slow down so we can allow the Lord to restore. So when we walk through these tough times, that we actually sense him going before us, coming behind us. That's why, you know, David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, like, he's like, no problem. There's enemies all around me. God's taking care of it. I don't need to worry about it. And there's several times in 1st and 2nd Samuel, where David has had to go in against people, whether it's Saul or various armies, and he's waited on the Lord. And then he does what the Lord tells him to do, and he routs them. Like,
yeah.
And the Bible is very clear that, you know, Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his tens of thousands. And because he waited on the Lord, he allowed God to restore him so he could sit, you know, in the presence of his enemies and go, the Lord's got it.
Yeah.
The Lord's got it. And so there's so much in this verse, these verses, but the things that come to mind is, you know, are we slowing down? Like, are we allowing God to actually restore our soul? And then are we truly believing that God is all we need? Because it says, as you said right at the very beginning, I shall not be in want.
Period.
So, are you feeling discontent? Are you feeling like you just don't have enough? Do you have some unmet desires or needs? And are you willing to surrender those to the Lord? And then I guess the last thing that, you know, comes to mind as I think about this passage is, like, do I put my hope in the fact that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Like, this whole thing is so, like, yes, he's come that we would have life and life to the full now. But also knowing that, you know, this is all momentary.
Yeah.
Like, this valley is momentary. I'm going to be in heaven one day.
Yeah.
So where are you putting your hope today? Are you putting in the now, you got to get it done now, and that's why you can't let the Lord restore your soul, because you're so focused on the now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes taking time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And worship God and actually listen to songs that are based on scripture help us to allow God to restore our soul. So I want to encourage you to actually to listen to a song called Good Good Father. Chris Tomlin does a version, and I'll get Robbie just to put a link to the YouTube link to listen to the song. And I encourage you just to stop, put the song on, and then listen, and then read John 10. About
yes.
Jesus being the good shepherd. So maybe, Jen, will you just pray for us and for our viewers?
Lord, we thank you so much that you are the good shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they do comfort us. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Oh, Lord, remind us that we need to slow down. We need to allow you to restore our souls. Remind us that you go before and that you come behind, and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, help us. Help us to focus on you as the good shepherd who lays down his life for us, that we would have life and life to the full. We thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in again to New Every Day. We hope that you have a great week and that you tune in here again next week as we open the book of Psalms again. Have an awesome week.
Have an awesome week. And if you do have time this week and you would like to take a look at our partners page, we invite you to do that and see how you can support us. When you make purchases there, it does come back to the show, and we can continue doing what we do, showing up here every week to share some time. Be blessed. See you later. I feel a song coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah.